You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy 30. We'll go there first. Actually, there's something else I want to share with you before we get to there. Deuteronomy 30, of course, you know, is where it talks about choices and how that you and I have choices in life. Thank God for choices. Amen. Amen. But it's interesting, you know, when you talk about choices and you talk about control, as it were, you know, God has instituted principles in life that have consequences. Everybody say consequences? Okay. So you don't control consequences. In the sense, principles. You don't control principles. We often say, I control my destiny, you know, I control my future. Well, you have choices concerning your future, but there's so many futures out there that you can choose, as it were. I mean, you can't choose to overrule gravity. You have to work with gravity. Are you out there? You can't choose to have a blessed life and live in sin because you can't overrule that principle of sin. So you don't control principles. What rules in life are principles. And that's a good thing once you find out what they are. That's what the Bible's about. The Bible is about telling us, you know, different principles that will bless us. Commandments, in one sense, cannot be broken. We just break ourselves against them. I think it was Cecil B. DeMille that said that, I believe, when he made the movie Ten Commandments. And Charlton Heston, you know, Moses and... Man, Moses better look like Charlton Heston when I get to heaven. Because that's a picture I've got in my mind, you know. But if you think about it, and this is a profound statement he made, he says, really, you can't break the commandments. They just break you. You just break yourself against them. Because if you decide you're just going to break commandments, the commandments stand. You can't break it. It stands. He said, well, can I disobey it? Oh, yeah, you can, but you don't break it. You break you. Commandments are like principles in that sense. Stephen R. Covey wrote a book called Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Excellent book on leadership and management and so on and so forth. And he talked about principles in there. In fact, he has a story I was going to share with you I thought was really significant about how principles can't be broken. See, and what I want to get to you here is that this is the way that God made the world. He made the world in a certain way that certain actions bring certain results. You can't change that. You can change your actions. Hello? Yes, but you can't say, I am not going to live for God and I'm going to still be blessed. No, you can't do that. You can choose your destiny in the sense of choosing to live for God, which will bring blessing, or you can choose not to live for God, which will bring cursing, but you can't change the principle. I'm going to step off this roof and I'm not going to hit the ground. No, I'll be coming down the hospital visiting you because you're going to break a leg. That's a principle. You cannot break a principle. You cannot overrule a principle with faith. Faith is about obeying the Word. Faith is about doing what God says. Faith is about believing His Word and acting on it. That's what faith is. So I can't overrule that. I can't make the world what it isn't. It is what it is. It works under certain rules. Farmers understand that. Hello. I can't plant watermelons and put up an orange stake and say, I'm going to grow orange trees here. Well, if I planted watermelons, the law demands watermelons are going to come up. But now think about it. If I really truly want orange trees, then I could go plant orange trees. So I'm not bound. I'm not wrapped up. I'm not boxed in. I can't control my destiny. You can choose your destiny. You can control it in that sense, but you're going to have to obey certain principles to get there. You may want to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Who wants to go to hell? But there's only one way to heaven, and that way is Jesus. You can't overrule that. You can't get there another way. But you can choose Jesus. Hallelujah. And I tell you, the sooner we wake up to this reality, are you out there? The better our life will be. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. Sometimes we're shooting ourselves in the foot. We're actually wanting something good to happen, but we're doing the things that are making bad things happen. And if we don't change the behavior, our actions, we're not going to change the outcome. Because the principle is unchangeable. The principle stands. the spiritual laws and physical laws, or we're going to have to learn to work with them. Well, tomorrow I'm not even going to pay attention to gravity. I'm going to live my life, and I'm going to violate it everywhere I go. Well, to your chagrin or to your hurt and to your pain, you're going to do that. Because gravity will not be changed. Gravity is a law. Okay? Well, I'm just going to talk negative and I'm going to have a good life. No, there's a law about confession. If you talk negative, you're going to have a bad life. I'm going to complain my way out of this mess. No, you're going to complain your way into this mess. You're going to confess your way out of this mess. Confess and possess, or doubt and do without. Amen? Okay, so I thought this was pretty cute. I read this in this book, Stephen R. Covey's book, years ago. It's an idea of reality and the impact of it, and principles and how they rule. And this was out of a magazine called Proceedings of the Naval Institute. Incidentally, Dave, you'll love this. This print's a little small. Maybe I could turn my iPad sideways and make the print bigger. Excuse me. Oh, yes, that's much better. Yes, okay. Yes, I can do that. That's wonderful. Much better. I don't need my glasses, no, because I have my iPad. This is an ideal of reality and true story. Two battleships were assigned to the training squadron, had been at sea on maneuvers in heavy weather for several days. And the personal testimony, this guy says, I was serving on the lead battleship and was on watch on the bridge as night fell. Can't get that print large enough, excuse me. Whoa, goodness. There's limitations, yeah, okay, to this one article here. The visibility was poor. Well, that's prophetic, man, I just did that. Anyway, he was serving on this lead battleship, was on watch on the bridge. It's nightfall, if you can imagine. There's a huge battleship, and he's on watch, and he's you know, looking out ahead for things that may crop up, things in the sea even. The visibility was poor with patchy fog, so the captain remained on the bridge, keeping an eye on all activities. Shortly after dark, the lookout on the wing of the bridge reported light bearing on starboard bow. Is it steady or moving astern? The captain called out. Lookout replied, steady, captain, which meant we were in a dangerous collision course with that ship. The captain then called to the signalman, signal that ship. We're on a collision course and advise you change course 20 degrees. Back came a signal, advisable for you to change course 20 degrees. The captain said, I'm a captain, change your course 20 degrees. The reply came back, I'm a seaman, second class. You'd better change your course 20 degrees. By that time, the captain was furious, and he spat out, I am a battleship, change 20 degrees. The response came back in a flashing light, I'm a lighthouse. And the captain changed course. See, principles are like lighthouses. Are you with me? And we need to understand that. You're going to run right into it if you don't change course. Things are happening many times in our life because of principles that we've been, you know, using, acting out wrong, right, or indifferent, wherever the case may be. And in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, you found it. I'll give you plenty of time to get there. Life is like this. Life is full of principles. Life is like farming. Many times the Bible is compared to farming. You can't overrule that. If you want to grow a crop, you've got to plant a certain seed. You've got to water that seed. You've got to cultivate that seed. You can't just throw it out there and hope it comes up. You've got to nurture it. You've got to do some things. You can't cram for life. You know, in college, everybody crams the night before the test. Life, you can't cram before the test. When harvest comes in June, the farmer doesn't run out there at the end of May and plant. He's got to plant it months before. He's already weeded and he's watered and he's fertilized. He's done all these things. He has to work with the principles because principles rule. They rule. They rule our lives. They rule God's universe. God made them. And that's a good thing when you understand them. Electricity is a wonderful thing. Lights up this building, heats up this building, cools this building when we need it cooled. It cooks food. Electricity is a wonderful thing when you obey the laws of electricity and you work with electricity. But if you cut into that wall and you grab those wires, that same law will kill you. And you might walk away and somebody said, that terrible thing, electricity killed that man. Well, actually, that man's ignorance killed him. That man violating the laws of electricity killed him. Sometimes in life, people do things, dumb things, and winds up taking their life. And we'll say, well, it was just their time. God took them out. No, God didn't take them out. They violated a law, an accident. That's what we call them, accidents. You know, you step out in the road, you get hit by a car, you can get killed. Hello? Wasn't God's will or timing or your day to die, your time to die? Hello? Sometimes it's just principles. Not every time. I'm saying, you know, of course, we live a good life and live our good life out. And in fact, God's will is that you have long life. He's satisfied with your long life. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And you enjoy your life. And you should live a long life. You can do things to add years to your life. You can honor your parents and add years to your life. That's a good one. Kids, you ought to be good to your parents just if you want to live long. That'll be good enough right there. Amen? Hallelujah. So when we talk about commandments, see, often we get all mixed up. Well, I don't know, like anybody telling me what to do. You know, God says this, and God says do this, and don't do that. God is just trying to help you. Really, it's all he's trying to educate you and educate me. You know, if you're going to live your life hating people, you're going to destroy yourself. That's the principle. If you want to love people like he says, you know what's the best thing you do for you? If you want to forgive people, that's the best thing you could do for you. That's a principle that will work for you or against you depending on what you do and what you choose. So life's still a series of choices. I don't believe life is full of chance. I believe life is a series of choices. I don't care about your past. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how you've been raised. It doesn't matter what money you have or don't have. It doesn't matter what education you have or don't have. What matters now are the choices that you're making today. You can't live in the land of look behind. Okay, you got to go forward. You know, there's a little ditty or a little poem, I can't remember how it goes, about the lightning bug is the most confused of all bugs. You know, it lives its life with its light on behind. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. I am going to do this. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. Notice what it says here, and this is something that you all should know and have heard over and over, but I want you to pay attention. Listen up. We need to hear these things over and over. Amen? You know, we often say God's in control of our life. Well, no, not really. God's not always in control of our life. God gave us choices, but principles are in control of our life, and God made those principles. But what God wants us to do is to take control of our lives by obeying the principles that he gave us. To take control of your destiny and your marriage, by obeying certain principles. There are certain principles, if you violate, it'll mess your marriage up. Certain principles that you cooperate with, that you work with, it'll help your marriage. Maybe you're having trouble financially. Maybe you're having trouble physically. Well, maybe there's some things in the natural you can do. Maybe there's some principles you can operate in that help you with your health, as it were. And then obviously begin to believe God and trust God for your health. Maybe you're fighting depression. Maybe you're fighting whether you have a purpose in life, that you have a destiny of why am I here? What's the point? What's it all about, Alfie? You know? Well, you know what? There are certain patterns of thought and patterns of things you watch and listen to that'll depress you. And there are things that'll bring you out of your depression. Or bring you out of depression, not your depression. It's not yours. Don't take it. But there are principles. You know, here's the standard fare, okay? What happens when you get depressed? You know, you unplug the phones, you turn the lights out, and you put on your blues music. Man, that's like shooting yourself in the foot and then loading up and start shooting your other foot and shooting your other hand, you know? Come on. I mean, you're pouring gas on this fire. What you need to do is back up. Don't do the things that enhance and promote depression. Do things that are going to bring you out of that. Call somebody up. Get out of the house. Go somewhere. Get out of bed. Wash those face and hands. Okay. 11th verse says, "For this is the commandment which I command you today. It is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off." Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Aren't you glad it's not complicated? We often think of God being too complicated for us. Well, obviously he's smarter than we are. Obviously he's way beyond us in that sense. But he has come down to us. He has communicated to us. And he has given us something we can do. And he's given us commandments that we can understand. Woohoo! Man, that's good preaching. Love it. Come on, let's get some more of that. This commandment, well, who knows what the will of God is? Well, you know, Ephesians 5:17 says, "Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Isn't that right? So obviously, God wants us to know His will. I can't know everything about God. Of course not. He's the creator and the maker of everything. But I can know what He said. I can know if He says He loves me, that however complicated that may be and however complex God may be as a being, the ultimate being, the creator and the maker of the whole universe, beyond me and my intelligence, I can know this. He does love me because He said He did. That much I do know. Amen? That much I do know is His will. His will is to love me. His will is for me to love Him. His will is for me to love you. Not complicated. It's not way off somewhere. He wants me to live holy. He wants me to pray and believe Him and trust Him. That's all in the Bible. It's all there. I may not know everything, but I know that much. I know what He said. So the will is not a complicated thing when it has been stated. And it has been stated. I may not understand why that lighthouse is there, but I know it's there. And I had better change course. Amen? I may not know everything going on in the world, but I know that if I keep going down this path I'm on, it's going to bring me to a certain destination. And the question should be, is that where I want to be? Because this path is taking me there. I do know that. And if I don't like where I'm going, I need to get off this path. Not deep. It's not deep stuff. Are you with me? So what is the commandment? A commandment, where is it? It's mysterious. I don't know. It's far off. And He says in the 12th verse, "It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who shall ascend up into heaven to bring it down to me, that I may hear it and do it?' Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who shall go over the sea for us all the way to Hawaii to bring it to us?'" Honolulu. I want to go there. Okay. "That we may hear it and do it. But the word," this is fascinating to me, "the word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it." Yeah. "See, I set before you life and good, blessing, and evil." Now, God's not the author of evil. We know that because the Scripture's plain on that. But it's out there. This life is full of that. This fallen, broken world we're in is a series of choices, not a series of chances that you fall into, but a series of choices that you make. And these are the choices. There are things that will bring you to death. There are things that bring you to life. There's things that will bring good in your life. There are things that will bring evil in your life. You say, "Well, what's my future hold?" Your future holds the sum and the outcome of the choices that you make today. That's real simple. What I choose to do today is going to bring a certain outcome tomorrow. There's consequences to things that I do. If I plant watermelons, I'm going to have watermelons come up. If I plant corn seeds, I'm going to have corn seeds come up. Are you out there? If I keep hitting my toe with a hammer, I'm finally just going to knock it off my foot. I've got to stop that. I love, what is it, Proverbs 26:2 says, "The curse causeless does not come." Actually, it says, "The bird as the sparrow by wandering, so the curse causeless does not come." Some translations say, "An undeserved curse will not come." In other words, if a curse has happened and come to you, then we need to examine what it is that caused that to happen or allowed that to happen, because there are reasons things happen, and sometimes we're the reason. I'm not saying God has reasons for everything that happens, but sometimes there are reasons why things happen, because what we have done and we have said, and we have brought this to pass. You know, you hear about great evangelists, famous evangelists that fall from grace and get into sin, and it's just a tragedy, a travesty. And I've wept over it and cried over it, because it's sad to have someone that with that much influence for good, that can bless humanity and has been that well known, and now they fall in sin, and now the world's making fun of them, and half the church is discouraged that, you know, that followed them. And you think, how in the world could they get to that point? Well, you know, hey, before we start throwing stones and judging, you know, just think of yourself. You've done things and you've thought, how in the world did I get to this point? Well, it was little by little. There's a little compromise here and a little compromise there. You got on a path that took you to that. You didn't get up one day and do that. You started doing little things that you knew were wrong. And you kept doing those little things that were wrong. And those little things became bigger things. Even in these great evangelists that fell, if you hear their story, they started compromising little areas. and they compromised in a little bigger area. And for long, they got caught doing this great big sin. But they didn't get up one day and say, hey, I'm just going to go do that. And neither did you. And thank God there's restoration and forgiveness, but then there's got to be a change of behavior. You don't just confess. You confess it, yes. But you cannot confess yourself out of a situation that you behaved yourself into. Sure is quiet in this church. I'm talking to every one of us. I'm not judging. I'm talking to me, talking to all of us. If I've got a situation or a problem or issue or a tragedy or something happened, you know, something that is within my control. Now, you can't control the fact that people die and there are some things you have nothing to do with, so don't be blaming yourself for that. But sometimes there are things that you could do differently and should do differently to get a different outcome. We need to confess our sin, no question. I agree. But we're going to have to do some things. We have to change our behavior. You know, that's why I come to church. I don't know about you. But I come to church to hear from God, to hear what I'm supposed to do, to learn how to act, how to love, because I don't know how to love. Nobody knows how to love without God. I don't think anybody knows how to. You need God to know how to love because He is love. And if you want to live right, live holy, oh my, you need a holy God to do that. And so you learn these principles. You know, and you know, it's just like if I had a chair or this podium, for instance, if I keep walking over and hitting this thing, man, whew, and just keep walking over and hitting this thing, man, I really want to get over there. I just can't seem to get there. Oh, I really want to be this person, but I can't be. Every time I try to get over there, I want to see what we need to do is identify the problem and go, oh, wow, move that thing. Are you with me? You got to remove the problem. I'm not talking about your wife or your husband, okay? I'm talking about action, behavior. You move the obstacle because you're going to keep hitting it until you remove it, and it's always going to stop you or it's going to keep you from getting to where you want to go. Hallelujah. It's not complicated. Are you out there? So, he says the word's near you, it's in your heart and in your mouth that you may do it. Not about somebody else. It's not about, I'm a victim of this and victim of that. No, you're not a victim. Maybe your mama wasn't that good to you. Maybe your daddy wasn't too good to you. I don't know. Maybe you had a bad marriage or didn't have a bad marriage. Maybe you had a bad experience in church. It happens. But all churches aren't bad, and people can get right and turn around. And amen. Hello. Your future's in your hands, not in the world's hands. If you'll find out, you know, some things you can do to rectify or make this better, well, let's start doing it. Hallelujah. Let's go to church. Let's find out how to talk. Let's find out how to pray. Let's find out who I'm supposed to hang around with. Let's find out, what I'm supposed to do with my time. Maybe my time's filled up with all the wrong things. Sure is quiet in here. My goodness. So, he goes on and says this. He says, see, I have set, 15th verse, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, His statutes, His judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Oh, hallelujah. You Christians, y'all all talk about living right and talking, loving people and forgiving people. And all we want to do is live and multiply. And possess the land that God has given us. God's not about just giving out orders. He's trying to help us. You know, I use the example often, and Charity probably gets upset that I do, but I can remember Charity in days gone by, growing up, sometimes was a challenge. That, enough to say that, Charity. Charity's back to back still grinning. That's good. Good. And I remember one time in particular that she wanted to do something. I said, no, I don't want you to do that. And she said, well, everybody else is doing it, same old thing. If you love me, you'd let me do it, blah, 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 yada, yada. You don't really love me. If you love me, you'd let me do it. How come I'm the only one on the planet, the whole universe, the whole galaxy? In the annals of time, all the thousands of years that people have lived on the earth, I'm the only one that cannot do this. You know, well, you've had kids. But anyway, I said, we talked about love. I said, well, let me tell you about love, Charity. And Charity at that time had this little dog, this little Sharpei dog. And we called her Lacey, aptly. We called her Lacey because she was just wrinkled all over, you know, Sharpeis. And Charity would tell Lacey, you know, to go to the shower And Lacey put her head down, her ears down, what little ears she had, and she'd go to the shower. She hated going to the shower, but she'd do it, you know. And make her go in a house and put powder on her and all that stuff, you know. And I said, let me tell you something about love, Charity. I said, you know, you've got this dog named Lacey. You love Lacey. I said, you know, you hear at night, we live out in the country, you can hear coyotes howling at night, yipping like a bunch of pack of puppies, you know. You can hear them at night. They're wild, wild dogs. They do anything they want to do. Nobody loves them. Nobody cares about them. They do their own thing. I said, the thing about coyotes is they just don't live long. They will not live as long as Lacey. Lacey will live a long, long time because you make Lacey take showers. You don't let Lacey run out in the road. You put powder on Lacey and, you know, de-tick, de-flea, all that stuff you do. And she doesn't understand it and she doesn't like it, but you love her so much. You want her to live so much that you have rules because you care. Now, if you didn't care about Lacey, you let her run with the coyotes. She wouldn't live very long. She'd finally die because you don't care about her. So I said, what you want from me is not more love. You want less love. Are you out there? And I love you too much to let you do this. So if you really love me, you'd let me do it. No, it's because I love you that I won't let you do it. It's because God loves us that we have rules. And I remember that conversation, Charity? Yeah. It didn't take right away. But last week, she got it. I'm kidding. But that's the way it is with God sometimes. We're saying, God, why do you want me to do this? Why do you tell me to do this? Why there's so many commandments? Why I want to do my own thing? Well, you know what? You can do your own thing, but there are consequences to the things that you do. There are principles that you are violating, and if you violate those principles, God can't help you. God made the principle. That's why he say, choose life. Well, you know what's so good about this? He says, here it is. It's all out there. It's a smorgasbord of things to choose, all right? Over here we got a little death, and over here we got a little life, and here we got a little evil, and here we got a little good over here. It's all here. Now here, you come on up here, and he doesn't say, come on up here and just choose what you want to. He says, you come up here, and you choose the good, and you choose the life. Don't you go over and choose that evil. Don't you choose that death. He's not even saying just choose what you want. He's saying choose what I'm telling you because I'm telling you what's going to help you and what's going to bless you. Amen. You choose love because love's going to bless you. You choose to live holy because that's going to make your life better and your marriage better and your family better and your business better. You choose this because I care about you. I love you. Amen. Let me tell you how you should live. Life's full of choices and you're going to be hit with a lot of them. But here's what you need to choose. God didn't say just choose anything. He said choose life. Wow. Man, that's better preaching y'all are amen. And the reason is he wants to bless us. Amen. He says, wow. A 17th verse. Let's start there. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and you're drawn away and you worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess it. I call heaven and earth together as a record and a witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God with all your heart, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the strength of your days, and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Wow. Good stuff. Amen. That's what God wants for our life. But see, what God wants for our life is determined by our choices. God doesn't always get what he wants. That may shock a lot of people. But he wishes or wants that none should perish, but people do perish. So whatever happens is not automatically God's will, although it doesn't surprise him because he made the world and he made the principles and he made the rules. But what he's trying to get us to do is to work with the rules and work with the principles. Amen? And we got a lighthouse in our path, change course. If we're a ship. Amen? Change course. You know, that's probably the best counseling we could get in most situations, not every situation, but I think in most situations we are the problem. But the good news is if we're the problem, then we can adjust. We can make some changes and we can behave differently and talk differently and we can come and get a different outcome. I think in most cases, if you don't like what's going on in your life, change course. Amen. Just change course, okay? Find out what God says. What is it that you're not doing here? What is it here that you're violating? I've often found things I violated. Thought I was doing okay, but got to look and I thought, whoa, wait, I messed up there. God, I repent. Sorry, I'm going to change that. I'll stop doing that. So let's change course if we don't like our destination. Let's change paths if we're not lining up at the right place. Hallelujah. If you're going down the road and you want to get to a certain place, get the map out and find out what's going to take you there. Amen. You say an iPad? No, a Bible. I mean a Bible. Okay? Just happens to be my iPad here. Find out what's going to get you there and start doing those things and obeying those principles. And those actions and those principles will take you to that destination. Amen. First thing is love God with all your heart. Amen? And all your soul and all your strength.